Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you personally for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio broadcasts there. You'll also find our TV program that you can download and look at, with a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the meeting times of our regular services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come and study God's Word with us, to worship Him, and let us help you see the need to have God in your life and a relationship with His Son. Anything that we can do to help you in your spiritual walk with God, we'll be more than happy to do so. Beginning this month, we have begun a study in the subject of pattern theology. And we have suggested that some in the religious world, and many, as a matter of fact, a majority, believe that there are no patterns in religion. And they believe in what is commonly referred to as no pattern theology. In other words, the examples and models and patterns in the Bible are not really relevant. They're not really important. And as we quoted a couple weeks ago from two prominent religious people who believe that patterns are just there for instruction, but they don't need to be followed and that they're not really necessary. And so they prescribe that there is a no pattern theology. Well, we're countering that by showing by clear biblical instruction that there is pattern theology. So that is something that's very alive and well, and God that has done that from the beginning of time. And we have begun by looking at some Old Testament examples. And we began, first of all, looking at in the days of Noah, and then we looked at Moses in constructing the tabernacle, and then we looked at Leviticus when we looked at the worship of the priest Nadab and Abihu when they offered strange fire, and we saw what happened. And so we want to continue this morning by looking at another case in point in that we find in the Bible concerning the transporting of the Ark of the Covenant. To begin with this morning, we want to read from Exodus chapter 25 the instruction given in making the Ark of the Covenant. It says in verse 10, "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it, and you shall make on it a molding of gold all around. And you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them on the 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings of the side of the ark, and the ark may be carried by them. And the poles shall be in the rings of the ark, that they shall not be taken from it. And you shall put them into the ark of the testimony, which I give you." Now notice, in these instructions, they were to take the rings on the side of the ark of the covenant, and they were to put rings on each of the 4 corners. And they were to do that in order that it could be transported. And then there were poles of acacia wood that were made, and then they were to be put through those rings, 2 on each side, and they were to be left there, and they were to be used whenever the ark was transported. It would always be carried. And if you read the instructions, and we won't bother for time's sake, that even the tribes of Levi that was given the responsibility of moving and taking care of the Ark of the Covenant and the furnishings of the tabernacle, they were not to touch any of the furnishings or any of the holy things, and all of them had provisions made so they would not have to be handled, but that they could be carried by those poles and the rings that were put inside the different furnishings. Well, let's move forward ahead in time. There was a time during the in God's history of God's people that they became unfaithful, and in a battle with the Philistines that They thought that to be victorious, if they brought the Ark of the Covenant, they let them lead the army, that that would guarantee them victory. Well, that didn't happen. And it didn't happen because they had been disobedient to God's will and had not been obedient to the instruction that he gave them. So he allowed the Ark of the Covenant to be taken and to be retrieved by the Philistines. And so the enemies of God now had the Ark of the Covenant. But if you read the story in 2 Samuel, that ark brought them no end of disaster everywhere they took it. Every different city was plagued with different plagues, and people died that had that ark while it was away from God's people. Finally, they figured out the best thing to do is to give the ark back, and to give it back to the people, and to give it back to God's people, and then God would take the plagues away from the Philistines. And that's exactly what they do. And not only do they do that, but they send it back with gifts in hopes that the plagues that had happened to them, that they would be restrained from and that they would not die. Now, for a period of time, the ark rested in the home of a Jewish man named Abinadab. And during the days of David, king of Israel in the United Kingdom, the second king in the United Kingdom, he determines that he wants to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. He wants to bring it back into a place that he is constructing to place the ark in the city of God, in the city of Jerusalem. So he goes to the house of Abinadab to bring it back. Now we pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by its name, the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubims. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in the hill, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out to the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of wood, on harps and string instruments, tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand on the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the place Pirzah Uzzah to this day. David was now afraid of the Lord on that day, and he said, 'How can the ark of the Lord come to me?' So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him to the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told to King David, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went up and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom in the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle." Now, I want you to notice what happened. In chapter 6, in the beginning, they go to Abinadab to bring the ark back. But when they do, they put it on a new cart, which David had built. And 2 men guided the cart as it was going down the road, headed toward Jerusalem. And then they came to a place in the road where the oxen stumbled. And when it did, it caused the Ark of the Covenant to alter a little, to move a little. And Uzzah, being a good Jew that he was, put his hand up to take the ark to keep it from falling off the cart. And when he did, God struck him dead. Why? It says the anger of the Lord struck him dead for his error. What error? The error was that no one was to touch that ark because the poles that were put in it when we read the instruction in Exodus 25 would keep any from having to touch the ark. And whenever it was transported from any place, it was to be carried. And they violated that. They did not follow the pattern of instruction in how to transport the ark. And Uzzah paid with it with his life. This made David fearful. So instead of continuing to Jerusalem, he took the ark and left it in the home of a man named Obed-Edom. And while the ark remained in his home for 3 months, his house and all of his household was blessed. And then David determines at the end of 3 months to go and bring the ark back to Jerusalem. But notice this time, instead of putting it on a new cart, it says that they carried the ark. And those with him, that they carried the ark, bearing the ark of the Lord. How did they bear it? They bared it by carrying it by the pattern that was given in the instruction. And it was to be moved by the priest, but they were to move it by the acacia wood, but never coming in contact with the ark. And when they moved it the second time, they got it back to Jerusalem without any problem because they followed the pattern given in Exodus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please consider what we're saying. What difference did it make if they had it on a cart or they carried it? What difference did it make? The difference is God said it was to be carried, and no one other than those in the house of Levi, the tribe of Levi, were to transport any of the materials of the ark, and no one was to touch it except the Levites. And when they touched it, they carried it. They did not touch it with their hands. And when Uzzah, not being a Levite, touched the ark, which was forbidden by God's instructions and pattern, he was struck dead. Now, was it because his intentions were not good? No. His intention was to protect the ark. That was a sacred piece of furnishing because the mercy seat went on top of it. And inside of it, there were some items that reminded them of the things that God had done for them as he led them through the wilderness. The Aaron's rod that budded, the pot with the manna in it, and the tablets of the commandments that were given to Moses in Mount Sinai. But he just did what every good Jew to do to protect the ark, but he violated the pattern. And when he did, he was struck dead. Do you see the point? Why did God give those instructions back in Exodus? Because he intended them to be followed. He intended the ark, whenever it was to be moved by carrying. And when it was violated, God quickly answered the disobedience with the death of a man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, where is this thinking that patterns don't mean anything, that God's instructions are not pertinent, that they don't need to be followed, they don't need to be adhered to, that we can alter them, we can amend them, we can change them to our liking and to make it more relevant to our time? Wrong. When God gives a pattern, when God gives an instruction, it is to be obeyed and it is not to be changed or altered to any degree for any reason. And whenever man assumes to take the authority that resides with God and to place it upon himself, he always leads to problems. It always leads to dire consequences. Why? Because God has a pattern. And patterns are to be followed if we love him, if we trust him, and if we're going to follow those patterns. Thank you for listening this morning. Please tune in again next week as we'll continue looking at the patterns of God.